There's a very popular commercial on television, you've probably seen it many times, where the Capital One guy asks the question, what's in your wallet, right? Well, I'm not here today to espouse any particular credit card, but it is an excellent philosophical question. What is in your wallet? Because it says a lot about who you are, and where you've been, and where you are going. Now, when I was a kid, I got my first leather wallet. It was a little flat thing. Didn't have much in it. I mean, what could there be when you're 12 or 13? A couple of $1 bills. I had a couple of wallet-sized pictures of my best friends. Eventually, I hoped to get a driver's permit and then maybe finally, thankfully, a driver's license. But it was a rather flat little thing. But today, my wallet, and I took a lot of junk out of here, it's still pretty fat today. So what we're going to do, and this is audience participation, take out your wallet. I want you to show to your kids what a wallet is, because a lot of them just think it is digital. It's on your phone. Now, women, too, you have a wallet. Most of you do. Dig down deep into that purse, and we're going to see just who you are. So, I'm opening up my wallet, and I have, kind of like when I was a kid, just a few $1 bills. That has not changed a lot. However, on the other side, there are a few credit cards. So, this says that I am a consumer. That's what credit cards do. It is also a travel card, so it says that I travel occasionally. So, there's that one. Of course, one is not enough, so here's another one as well. And, of course, two is not enough. So, here is a third one to go in there. But I'm not just a consumer. Here is a library card. I'm a reader, although my wife usually takes my card and chooses my books for me. Well, that's another sermon altogether, not for today. Put that in there. What else do we have? I have a couple of golf cards saying that I like to golf. Buy one round, get one free. I've only got about 14 to go there, and I get a free round. Like that. And, well, people know that I like to golf because here is a gift card, actually two gift cards to play golf. So there's a theme for you. Here is my insurance card. My insurance card says that I love my family and I don't want to die anytime soon. So there's that, right? Here is my AARP card, which says that I am old. Right, there we got that one. And, of course, we have auto insurance cards and the aforementioned driver's license. Now, those are a few things that are in my wallet. What is in your wallet? The question that I want you to ask for today is this. Does what is in your wallet really make up your identity? Is it a true picture of who you are? Now, take a look here at your notes. We want to fill in the blanks, but we really want to identify the message for today. I would conclude that the more that we define who we are, all those things, consumer, reader, traveler, golfer, caring about my family, all of those things, the more that we identify who we are, the more we put labels on who we are, the more we are at risk of having our identity stolen. It's true, isn't it, that we live in a digital age, an electronic age. And more than ever, identity theft is an issue not only in our country but around the world. Now, as a senior, there are two words that the people close to me always remind me of. And you should probably do this for your children. We do it for our children and for our seniors. And those two words are, don't click. Right? On the computer, don't click. Because if you click, you may have your identity stolen. Or you may do what I do and you buy stuff that you never intend to buy. And then your wife or someone who loves you has to call the company and say, he's an old guy, he really doesn't know what he's doing. Don't click. It's one of the best ways to have your identity stolen. Now, the point that I want to make today truly is that what you have in your wallet is not who you truly are. Most of you know that I have an identical twin brother, right? Most of you know that he also is a Lutheran pastor. We look a lot alike. We sound quite a bit alike. We have many of the same characteristics and mannerisms. And often when I go to a conference, especially if the people there do not know that we are twins, and they think that I am my brother, they will come up to me and they will say, hey, Terry, how you doing? Long time no see. Give me a big bear hug. Then I'm like, who are you? Right? And they're a little offended when I don't recognize them. It's a case of mistaken identity. Well, I would submit that so often we are just like that. We mistake our identity because the world tells us certain things about who we are. We look to our cards. We look to our wallet to see who we are. In school, often we get labels. Smart guy. Athlete. Musician. One who studies a lot, but negative labels sometimes as well. A teacher says you're never going to make it. You're only average. Or even a loser. You're never going to be worth anything. You'll never amount to anything at all. The world labels us, and sometimes we begin to believe those labels. We misunderstand, we mistake our true identity. Now, I would suggest that there is hope even if we have been labeled incorrectly or if we have been labeled negatively. As we look at our gospel lesson for today, we see that Jesus himself was misunderstood. He was mislabeled. We see this story where he comes to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. The Pharisees think that he is a false prophet. They think he is a usurper. Later on, they even think that he is of the devil. John says, you know, why do you come to me? I should be coming to you. You should be baptizing me. You're sinless. You have no need to repent. And Jesus says, that's true. I am sinless. And yet, all righteousness needs to be fulfilled. You see, it's one thing to repent, to confess of your sins, to admit that you have made mistakes. And we have all done that. We feel remorse because we know that certain things we've said or done are not right. But we are not truly made right. That's the whole thing about righteousness. We're not right with God until someone pays the price. Because God has demanded perfection. And as we have admitted this morning when we confessed again before this altar and before God, we're not perfect. We have erred in so many different ways, and even in ways that we cannot comprehend or don't even know. So Jesus is baptized so that all righteousness will be fulfilled. He is truly the one who consecrates the waters of baptism. We say in baptism, it's not just the water. It's just plain water we put here in this font. But it is the Word of God. It is God Himself. It is Christ who has gone into and then come out of the water, who has gone into and come out of the grave that makes us righteous. You see, the Pharisees and even John made a category mistake. Now, do you know what a category mistake is? When you have the category wrong. You have the wrong image, the wrong metaphor. The Pharisees thought he was a false prophet. John thought he should be baptizing him. But Jesus comes as the sinless Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And as a church, we often feel like our job is to convert the world. In evangelism, we used to put it this way, that we would lead people to Christ. But as we seek our true identity, I hope that you will see that this is a false notion. So I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, what's wrong with the notion of leading people to Christ? Go ahead and do that. We're right in the middle of the sermon. You need to wake up a bit. What's wrong with the notion of leading people to Christ? Ah, glad you asked. I suppose in one sense, there's nothing wrong at all with that notion. We certainly want to teach people about Jesus. We want them to understand that no one can save themselves, that there are all kinds of false saviors. There's only one real savior, and that is Jesus. But the problem is, there's only one leader. And it's not me as your pastor, nor is it you, even though the world often wants to tell you, you're number one, you're the best, it's all about you. Every single commercial is aimed at making you feel better about one person, and that is yourself. There's only one leader, and that, of course, is Jesus. So a better label, a better identity, is not at all that we are leaders, though sometimes we must be at the front of the line. We're still yet, as Paul said, followers of Christ. We are followers. We are disciples. And the best evidence of our identity is found in our baptism. Now, I know that this is not fair, but in the e-letter this week, I put in one little line that most of you probably didn't read. And that was that you were to bring your baptism certificate to church. So, how many of you read the line? Some of you did. Oh. How many of you actually brought your baptism certificate? A big round of applause for those who followed the rules. Good. We have a free gift for you. We do this at Emmanuel. A free gift for you, those who actually read the e-newsletter. You can pick it up after church. Here's the point. We have all these things in our wallet to identify who we are. One of the best things that we can do is to remember daily our baptism. Martin Luther put it like this. He said, every day we should look in the mirror and we should say two things. Now, this comes from the time when he was in the Wartburg Castle and he was tormented by the devil. You probably have an image somewhere in the back of your brain where Luther took the inkwell and he hurled it at the devil. I wouldn't recommend that, but I would recommend what he said to do. Look in the mirror every single day and say two things. Number one, God is good and I am not. Or God is God, rather. God is God and I am not. He is the one who has created me. He is the one who has redeemed me. He is the one who has saved me. He is the one who has given me all of my gifts. He is my leader. And I am the follower. And then right behind that, say, I am baptized. Notice, it doesn't say I was baptized. Though it is a one-time event, we only need to be baptized one time. We carry the identity of our baptism with us throughout all of our life and even into eternity. I am baptized. Now, your baptism does carry two functions. As a follower, what are we to do? Number one, it ordains us into ministry. And I brought my certificate here. This did not fit in my wallet. It's all in Latin, or I would read it to you. Don't fall over. That's my ordination as a minister. But you have your ordination papers as well. And it is that baptism certificate. And even if you don't have it on parchment like this, it is sealed in your heart and on your soul. And every time we make that sign of the cross, it's a reminder of where our righteousness comes from. It's a reminder that we are marked by the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord, and that it is His righteousness that carries forth in our life. And so you are ordained then by your baptism into ministry to serve this body of Christ. But it's also given you the credentials to be a missionary, because we are not just here for one another, though we begin in serving and helping each other grow. We are also to go out there into the world as a missionary to tell others, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that all righteousness comes from Him, and that through that righteousness, we have a life so far beyond what this world and its labels have to offer. What's in your wallet? You know, the most genuine theft-proof identity that you could ever put in your wallet is that baptism certificate. It's an identity that can never be stolen, and it can never be taken away. Your baptism marks you as one redeemed by Christ and belonging to Him forever. So again, I ask, what's in your wallet?